As patriots, it's our duty to rise up in a world full of darkness. Evil comes in many forms, and it lurks around unexpected corners. It's time to stop wondering what will happen if it comes to war. War is already here. It's time to rise. Rise up for truth. Rise up for freedom. Rise up for our rights as American citizens. And now, at the head of the militia, here's your host, Mickey Garris.
Hello, my fellow patriots, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm your host, your fearless leader, Mickey Garris, and it's great to be here today with you on Saturday, a wet and rainy one at that. Boy, oh boy, has it sure gotten soggy the last couple days. We are here in Oregon, and I'd say that it's safe to say that the drought season is over. So I'm not going to complain. Lord knows we need the water, we need the rain, and I know it's kind of miserable. It's stormy and gloomy out there, but the bottom line is, my friends, we're going to need this going into the spring and the summer. So personally, as long as it doesn't cause any people's homes or properties to be damaged, as long as we can steer clear of any type of flooding or any other, you know, bad natural events that come from this water, I hope that this rain keeps on coming. I hope we have a wet, soggy winter because, like I said, we do need it. Now, you guys should feel special that I'm here today with you on this Saturday afternoon. You know what today is? Today is the first day of elk season, and I should be out in God's country enjoying that in all its glory and sogginess today. But I'm here with you. There's so much to talk about. I just could not take the day off, and so I've got plenty of time. I'm going to go get it done. I'm going to take Noah out and get it done. But really, the things that we have to discuss today are pretty important. There's been a lot going on this week. There's some fun things to talk about. There's definitely some things to talk about regarding this Kyle Rittenhouse trial and how that's shaking out for him and kind of my assessment on what happened there and what I think is going to happen. And then again, of course, we got to talk about just the state of this country, the state of this state that we live in, the mentality that we seem to be in right now that I believe is dangerous. And it always comes back around to being biblical, doesn't it? I mean, as Christians, we know that things are going to happen. Things are going to take place. It's been foretold. And we don't know the time, right? That's the thing that it's always told, you know, that no man knows the time. We don't know, but there are signs to watch out for. And I think it's obvious that we're seeing things unfold. We're watching events take place in this world, whether it's political events or things that are happening in different countries or natural disasters. We're watching things take place that it looks a lot like the events that were foretold in Scripture. And we know that there are certain things in motion, there's steps that are being made that are definitely pointing to these signs, signs of the end times. Again, we don't know when exactly. It could be tomorrow or it could be 1,000 years from now. Only God knows. Only Jesus knows. But I think we'd be naive to think that there's not already things taking place. And so I always go back to what is our role? You know, I've talked before about how one of my frustrations is that I think a lot of Christians think that, you know, it is what it is. It's the way it's written and they're not going to do anything to change or influence it. And they're just along for the ride. And I think that's the easy way out. And I think you should really consider what you're saying. You're saying you're okay with sin and you're okay with not being willing to be a warrior for Christ. You're okay with just being a sheep and whatever happens, happens. And let me tell you, the lambs will be led to slaughter, my friends. And I don't think we're ever supposed to give up the fight. I don't think we're ever supposed to throw that towel in. I think it's been very clear in Scripture what we're supposed to do. And I think we have a job to do. And I don't think we're just along for the ride. I think we're a part of it. And I think that our actions can change the course. Maybe not in a way that we can fully understand it. Maybe not in a worldly way. But I do believe that somehow, some way, that our actions do have an impact on what our future is. And so that's what I wanted to dive into a little bit more. And the thing is, a lot of people just don't want to admit this. A lot of Christians, brothers and sisters, they want to ignore it. They want to be passive, complacent. They've got this apathy. We've talked about, you know, just having their head in the sands. And the thing I hear over and over again is that, you know, maybe, you know, prayers alone are enough. You know, that's what a lot of these pacifists use as their weapon is prayer. And we all know that prayer is essential and a powerful tool, a powerful weapon. And we are told to pray, yes. But is prayer alone enough? If that's all you're willing to do, is that enough? And I don't think it is. A lot of people don't even hear truthful scripture anymore. A lot of our church leaders, our elders, our pastors aren't even teaching the scripture truthfully. They're not reading you verbatim what the Bible says, what scripture is telling you word for word, because they're scared. They're afraid of offending people. They're afraid of this cancel culture that's going around. And they're afraid of maybe losing part of their flock because of that. Maybe, and this is completely wrong and ridiculous, but maybe they're afraid of not bringing in enough of that tithing. You know, if they start losing some of their flock and they're not getting that tithing, maybe they're worried about the financial end of the church. So they're not teaching scripture the way they're supposed to teach it. And if they're not teaching it the way they're supposed to teach it, if they're not saying what it truly says and what it truly means, they're being deceitful. They wrongly believe that God doesn't require them to do anything more than what they're currently doing. That's what a lot of people go through. They just don't think that, you know, they think, hey, we're going through life. We're a good person. We believe in God. We've accepted Christ as our Savior. And they're okay. They're content with that being enough. They just don't think that there's anything more that they have to do, because in their mind, they've already been saved, right? But here's the kicker. Our Christian values are under attack each and every day. And Christianity itself is being perverted. And this is the root cause of the inevitable collapse of this republic. Trust me when I tell you this, friends. If we abandon our values, if we don't do anything, this will be the cause of the collapse of this republic. This republic, our foundation is based on Judeo-Christian values. And when we compromise those values, when those values falter, when we lose sight of who we are, we also lose the very heart and the soul of this once great nation. And we're going to suffer the consequences for that. What does that mean for Christians and Christianity around the world? Think about that if there's no United States. Think about what that means if this republic ceased to exist. Now, granted, we're not perfect by any sense of the word. But I believe that this country, we have definitely done more good than bad. And we've been instrumental in liberating Christians and fighting against their persecution across the globe in accordance with God's word for centuries. I believe that this country, us, the people, we've been used as a vessel, we've been used as a tool for God to protect Christianity and to grow His flock. Imagine if we weren't here. Imagine if the United States didn't exist. And right now, my friends, evil is knocking and it's growing and festering like a cancer, and it's from within here. That's the problem right now. It's different than we've ever had to deal with before. It's breaking us apart from within. And so the question is, are we going to let it defeat us? The point is, and I've said this so many times to you guys, sometimes we need to get our hands a little bit dirty. Sometimes the ends do justify the means, and sometimes godly men need to take action in the name of righteousness. And sometimes that looks violent and messy. And if you don't understand that, if you haven't seen that before, it's because you've been cherry-picking scripture, or you're just too cowardly to do what ultimately might be necessary. Like I said in the beginning, we can decide, are we going to be sheep? And are we going to be led to slaughter? Or are we going to be lions? Are we going to be warriors for Christ? And I think right now we're at that crossroads. We got to think about that, and we better figure out how we're going to answer that really soon. Another part of that is, if we do nothing, how will we be judged? What is salvation worth to you? And I know there's people saying, hey, what you're talking about, you know, you're talking about some of that violence and this and that, that's a sin. Let me tell you something, my friends. We're all sinners. You are a sinner. You Christians that have your head in the sand, that are afraid to do anything but pray, and you try to hold yourself up on this pillar, you are still a sinner. It's clear. Every one of us is a sinner. We might as well have a worthy cause. And so when I see what's happening here in this country, and just the breakdown of our societal values and our Christian values, and the way people are just attacking this republic and actively seeking to destroy it, dismantle it, act like we're the bad guy, that there's a better way. And I see the majority of my fellow countrymen sitting by just allowing this to happen. And I always look back at the churches. I always look back at the leaders, the elders, and I think, what are you guys doing? And I'm not saying that there's not some really good ones. I'm not saying that there's not churches that you know, aren't out there preaching the truth and actually teaching the scripture and the doctrine the way God intended it to be taught, the way he instructed it to be taught. There's some good ones, but you can pick any community you want to, and you have to hunt. You have to look hard to find that message, to find that church, to find that pastor. And it shouldn't be that way. It should be coming from each and every church. And I have people defending these weak pastors and these churches that are too cowardly to stand for the truth. And they say, well, they got to be careful with what they say. They got to be careful with what they do because they don't want to lose their tax exemption. Does it always have to come back down to money? That's what I'm hearing. When that excuse is made to me, that tells me that above scripture, what's more important to you is your financial stability, whether or not you get to keep your tax exemption or not. And let me tell you something. All you have to do is preach the scripture. You don't have to do anything but speak the scripture. You don't have to get on some political rant. You don't have to tell people who they should vote for. If you preach the scripture truthfully, if you are honest with your flock, that speaks for itself, and they will know who to vote for. They will know which party to follow. That's all you have to do. Why are you scared? Why are you afraid? Because you're being deceitful to your flock. You're leading people down the wrong path. And there will be consequences. Stick with me, my friends. Don't turn that dial. We'll be right back here on more Patriot Uprising Radio.
We're
We're back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Nikki Garris.
Hello, my fellow patriots, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm your host, your fearless leader, Mickey Garris, and it's good to be here today with you on Saturday, wet and soggy, first day of elk season, Saturday afternoon, and here I am talking in this microphone to you guys. I hope you guys are doing well. We were just talking about churches and about churches not being afraid to truthfully preach the scripture, and how our church elders and our pastors need to be out there and giving it to us honestly, telling us exactly what it says, talking to us about that doctrine and about God's word, not sugarcoating anything, not leaving anything out, and not worrying about who they're going to offend or cancel culture, because that's really, truly the only way to salvation is to learn God's word. And when we have these churches that are afraid to do that, it makes a big mess of everything. And we're starting to see the consequences of that in how our society is just starting to collapse. And we have gone into this moral decay, and it's killing this republic. And I said in the last segment that that will be the downfall of this republic, when we forget what our foundation is, that we were born from Judeo-Christian values, and we've been the greatest nation that ever existed possibly in modern history because of those values and because of what our foundation was. And when we steer away from that, there's no way that this constitutional republic can continue to operate. The reason we were successful was because of those values. Our constitution exists from those values. And when we start to remove ourselves and separate ourselves from that, it's going to start making this country break down. And we're seeing that, and it's scary. And the question is it too late? Can we fix it? I've been doing a lot of research about it, and how did we get to this point? And what are the warning signs? And what are the things that society's starting to value above God's word and above scripture? The Spirit explicitly says that in later times, some will fall away from faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. 1 Timothy tells us that, 4:1. So the question is, who are these demons, and are they here? Are they present in our country today? Who are these demons, and what are their teachings? So I'm going to get into that a little bit more in depth than maybe I was originally thinking, but I think this is important for us to understand. The sacrifice to demons that were no gods to gods that they had never known, to new gods that had come recently, whom your fathers had never dreaded. That's Deuteronomy 32:17. And they shall no longer offer their sacrifices to the goat demons with which they play the prostitute. This shall be permanent statute to them throughout their generations. Leviticus 17:7. No, but I say that things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to become partners with demons. 1 Corinthians 10:20. From these three scriptures, my friends, from these three verses, I think it's very enlightening. It should be clear that the people were sacrificing to false gods, which the scripture called demons. And the teachings described in 1 Timothy are those of the false gods. So who are these demons that we're talking about? Who are the demons that we need to watch out for today, in today's times? Baal. He was the god of war, weather, and was worshipped by sacrificing children. Asherah was nearly always a consort of Baal, and was the goddess of sexual perversion and immoralities, and was commonly worshipped through temple prostitution. Tammuz was the god of vegetation and fertility. They worshipped her for creation, natural world, rather than worshipping the actual creator, God. Beelzebub, Satan, as we know him, the prince of all demons, Satan is characterized in John 8:44 as a liar. When he lies, he speaks in his native tongue. So how does that translate in today's world and the culture war that's going on? How does that translate specifically to what is happening in our country and worldwide, and why does that threaten this republic? So I look at these things and I see a direct correlation. I think evolution, the denial of God the Creator, abortion, that's child sacrifice, future weather panic, ice ages, global warming, climate change, sexual perversion, same-sex marriage, LGBTQ, sex trafficking, child pornography, inclusion and education of all those topics in the schools, in the public school systems, extreme environmentalism. God's not able to control his creation. That's what it's telling us, right? Globalization, the goal of Satan since the Tower of Babel. It's necessary for the Antichrist. Blurring of the truth, lies sold as truth, and vice versa. Anti-God, anti-Christian, anti-Jew sentiments. Described as domestic terrorist. Logic and reason is replaced with emotional decisions. This is a spiritual battle being carried out on a human basis. As citizens of this country, we have been given special exception in the history of the world. We can choose our leaders. This carries the responsibility of action. As believers, we need to choose our leaders. Congressional leaders, all political leaders, who will carry out their promises to engage in God-honoring behavior and enact God-honoring policies. We need to study the word so we can discern the truth. The Greek word for belief is an action verb. Think about that. The Greek word for belief is an action verb. So put your faith into action. Our churches and our country need to be defended from the fiery darts of Satan. So going back to what I originally opened up with, is prayer alone enough? And my friends, I don't think it is. It's time to put our faith into action. Stick with me. Don't turn that dial. We'll be right back for more Patriot Uprising Radio.
Back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Nikki Garris.
Hello, my fellow patriots, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm your host, your fearless leader, Nikki Garris. It's good to be here today with you on this Saturday afternoon. I hope you guys are well. We've been having some serious discussion today on the show, some really deep, in-depth conversation about our faith, Christianity, our republic. And I hope you guys listened to that. I hope you guys took it to heart. I hope you guys are thinking about it. I don't claim to be right all the time. But my feeling about this is that I'm onto something. And at least, at the very least, I hope that you guys just heard this message and you go back and you reflect upon it. And maybe you come to a different conclusion, but the important thing is that we're starting to think for ourselves. And that's the bulk of it, is we can't continue to be sheep. We can't be lambs led to the slaughter. We need to be able to think for ourselves, use our own reason and judgment, have our own free will, and understand that we ultimately serve God and answer to God. And there's no president, there's no party, there's no politician in the world that can replace that. We're in some scary times right now, and as a nation, as a country, as a republic, we're going to have to make some tough decisions, and we need to get right spiritually first and foremost. So that's my reason for this message today, and I just hope you guys open your hearts to it and think about it quite a bit. In other news, did you guys hear Biden's newest, latest gaffe? Of course, Biden his handlers, could you imagine being one of his handlers, the people that got to like lead him around on his rope all day long and usher him out to say his quick speech and usher him back in? Don't you know that every time he opens his mouth, they're sighing and they're about ready to facepalm themselves. And they're just terrified of what's going to come out of his mouth. They're just absolutely terrified of it. I bet that job, the person that's got that job, I bet it, number one, I hope it pays very well, okay? Why would you do it if it did not pay well? Number two, I bet it's got an incredibly high turnover rate, because who the hell, regardless of pay, would want that job? It's just unbelievable. So on Thursday, I think it was, he's on Veterans Day. God bless our veterans, you guys. If I didn't say it earlier, God bless our veterans. We celebrated Veterans Day on Thursday. We would not have the freedom and liberty and everything that we enjoy here in this country without our veterans. And that's one of the reasons why I opened up the show, how I opened it up, because it's up to all of us. We all have a responsibility and a role and a duty to keep this republic. And we can't rely solely on our veterans. Okay, we all need to fight for this republic. But we won't be here today. We won't have the liberties that we have today without our veterans. So God bless our veterans. But so Biden is at Arlington Cemetery on Veterans Day, and he's doing a speech, and he starts talking and he starts talking about baseball of all things. He's talking about the pitcher, Satchel Paige. And this is what he said. He calls baseball pitcher Satchel Paige a great Negro. I'm not joking. I am not joking, my friends. He called Satchel Paige a great Negro. Now, I've been waiting for that woke left or the media to start to melt. But guess what I've heard from them instead? Crickets. I've heard crickets. Nothing but silence. He'll get a pass on that. He'll get a pass on his racist comment. Biden can't help it. That's the thing. Now, you can blame it on dementia or whatever else is going on, but when it comes to racism, he can't help it. He is a proven racist, my friends. And trust me when I tell you, I do not throw that word around lightly. I think it's used way too much anymore, and I think everybody's accused of being a racist when they're not. There is true racism and there is true racist. And Biden's history, my friends, his legislation, the things he said, we've got 55 years of Joe Biden and his racist antics, his racist rants. And trust me when I tell you, this man is racist. He said that. It wasn't a gaffe. He said that because that's what he believes. He believes that color and race make a difference. And it's just another thing that I hear and my jaw kind of drops. And I'm like, did he really just say that? And then I go back to realizing the hypocrisy of the left and the double standard. And could you imagine, we play this game a lot. Imagine if this was Donald Trump. Imagine if this was Donald Trump's son. Imagine, could you imagine for a moment Donald Trump saying something like that? Donald Trump calling Satchel Paige a great Negro? What the heck? The media would melt down. The left would melt down. If President Trump was still in office at that moment, he would be immediately impeached. The streets, there would be BLM on the streets. They would be rioting like crazy. Antifa would be out there burning Portland down again for the fourth time. If Donald Trump said anything relatively close to that, people would be freaking out. But yet Joe Biden and the Democrat Party get away with that kind of crap, that kind of blatant racism all the time, and nothing ever happens to them. It's absolutely amazing. And the bottom line is, Trump would never say anything like that. Because Trump is not a racist. Right now, we have a racist president that is as dumb as a post and suffering from dementia. That is who is leading the United States of America. Just absolutely mind-boggling. And then we got the double standard again of the media and of the left and everything that's been going on with this Kyle Rittenhouse trial. Now, if you guys have been watching the trial, it's been just an absolute nightmare for the prosecution. They say this guy is an experienced prosecutor and seasoned and good at his job. Well, the first clue was ever putting charges on Kyle in the first place. Obviously, it was all political motivated because there was nothing to charge Kyle with. Long before the charges ever were placed on him, the witnesses and the video evidence, video from multiple angles came out, and it was a clear, to anybody with any brain in their body, it was a clear cut case of self-defense. Now, you guys may know or may not know that I dabble in firearms. It's a hobby. It's actually one of my businesses. I have a small store in Dallas. But my primary area of expertise is firearm safety and instruction. And I do a lot of different classes. And I have taught thousands and thousands of people over the years. And I do a lot of concealed handgun classes. And this is something that I take very seriously. It's something that I'm passionate about. I study it. And the biggest thing is I just want to educate people the right way. I want to make sure that they're handling firearms the right way and they're not out there doing anything stupid. And I always tell my class before they leave, I always say, just remember that just because it's legal doesn't mean it's a good idea. No matter how right you are, no matter how justified you are, there will be consequences if you shoot somebody that you'll have to live with the rest of your life. And don't do anything stupid that's going to end you up on the 10 o'clock news. That's kind of my closing line in one of the classes that I teach. And so being the guy in my community that teaches all these people and does all this and is known for that, I've been constantly asked about, what do I think about Kyle and this trial? And is he guilty? Is he innocent? Should he have done what he did? And they want me to kind of dissect what's been going on. And so I've been watching everything from day one, and it's very easy to tell you exactly what happened. Number one, Kyle was attacked, and in Wisconsin, his action was 100% justified. It was a clear cut and dry case of self-defense. He was attacked. What he did, he needed to do. And if he did not do what he did, my friends, he might be dead. Thank God he did what he did because he saved his own life. And maybe through that night, he saved other people's lives as well. Clear-cut case of self-defense. And I would argue that that is almost the case in any state, but definitely under the Wisconsin law where they're trying him right now, that is 100% true. Okay. Number two, he should have never been charged. The DA is wrong. Like I said, it was all political. Okay. This was ridiculous that he was even charged. And the DA, the prosecutor, is just, they're botching everything up. It is a clown show, and they look like idiots. And trust me, he'll probably never get another good gig again. Not in Wisconsin or maybe anywhere else. Okay. Number three is, like I already kind of told you at the beginning, no matter how right you are, no matter how justified you are, if you have to shoot somebody, my friends, there will be consequences. Now, you got to weigh the pros and the cons. You just saved a life. You saved your family's life. You saved your own life. Are you willing to accept whatever consequences are coming your way because you did what you had to do and you're still living? Because you did what you had to do and you protected your loved ones. But there will be consequences. Don't think you can shoot anybody, no matter how right, no matter how justified it is, and not have consequences. It's a very traumatic experience that you're going to live with the rest of your life. Okay? Last point is, even though I believe Kyle has huge balls, and I wish more Americans would stand up and help others the way he did that night, I don't think that a 17-year-old kid should have put himself into that position. And I think that was a poor choice. I think that was a mistake on his part. He should have never been in Wisconsin that night. Don't turn that dial. We'll be right back with more Patriot Uprising Radio.
We're back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Mickey Garris.
Hello, my fellow patriots. Welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm your host, your fearless leader, Mickey Garris. Thanks for joining me here on this Saturday afternoon. Remember, my friends, if you need to get a hold of me, send me an email. It's mickey@kslm.news. That's M-I-C-K-Y @kslm.news. We are the number one talk radio station, conservative talk station in the Valley. We won that award. We're so proud of that. And we just want to continue to deliver you the truth, a positive, truthful message. You know what? I say positive. I got to be truthful now. It's not always positive, but you will always get the truth. We talk about some pretty heavy, intense subjects. And there's a lot of things in this country going on right now that they're not positive. But you know who has the ability, my friends, to change that? You and I. Like I said in the last segment, that we have a responsibility, that we have an opportunity that nobody else in the world gets with the way our system is set up. And it's up to us to change things. If we don't like how things are going, it's up to us. If we don't like who our leaders are, it's up to us. If we don't like what our laws are, it's up to us. It's up to us to make the change that we want. And I think we forget that. And that's the whole point of today's show is we can't forget. We've got to be willing to stand up. We've got to be paying attention. We can't have apathy. We can't be complacent. We've got to understand. We got to have a better understanding of what's going on and why and who's responsible. We got to hold people accountable. We have to engage. We have to engage each and every day at every single level. Engage at your local level. Engage with your school boards. Engage with your county commissioners. Polk County, if you're listening, do not vote for Craig Pope, my friends. We talked about that last week. If you need a refresher, you can go back, kslm.news, click on the Patriot Uprising podcast, and you can hear last week's show. And I went into depth about why Craig Pope is not doing you any favors, okay? But we need to engage. We need to engage with our school boards, our county commissioners, our city councils, our legislators, our governor. And we've got some major battles ahead of us. We know that. And we know that we have an uphill battle. But we'll never win. We'll never gain any ground if we're not engaged, if we're not willing to fight. And when I see what happened in Virginia, I know it's possible. Virginia was more entrenched blue than Oregon, my friends. I know we look at Oregon and we think, oh my God, we're one of the worst states. We might be actually the worst state. But Virginia a week ago, my friends, was worse than we are. Yes. Believe it or not, they were worse than we are. What changed? The people's hearts changed. People got frustrated. They got tired. They got angry. They got scared. They realized something had to change. And they showed up and they voted and they made the change. They made the change for their next day, for their future, for their kids. They were more blue than Oregon, my friends. And they did what they had to do. Why? Why did they do that? For their own self-perseverance. Maybe people in Oregon will wake up. That's what I'm hoping. That's what my prayers are. That we can pull off of Virginia right here in this state. I believe we can. Like I told you, I've got this kind of renewed energy about it. I'm not as down as I used to be. We've got a big battle. I don't think we're going to get everything we want on the first try. I know that we're going to lose some. I know it's going to be real tough, but I'm looking at these states and seeing this red wave, and I understand that the Democrats got to be terrified, and they don't know how to deal with this. They do not know how to deal with this. In fact, you can see a lot of what they're doing. Look at the Biden administration in a complete tornado of chaos. He's falling apart. The lowest approval ratings ever in history. And Harris, the VP, she's lower than he is, and she hasn't done squat. Okay? They're falling apart and they're scared, And what are their answers? Let's double down. Let's double down on these ridiculous policies. Let's double down on this progressive socialist agenda. Let's double down on this tax increase. Let's double down on hurting Americans. That has been the Biden administration's response when everything around him started collapsing. When they're getting the feedback, when they know the people are frustrated and upset and tired and don't approve of what he's doing, don't approve of him. What has he done? What has his response has been to double down and keep doing, keep pushing it harder. And I feel like it's like they're thinking in their heads, we've got nothing to lose. They already hate us. Why not go for broke? I really honestly believe that is their mentality now. And I think that mentality is a little bit scary because if we're not on guard, if we're not willing to fight, if we're not willing to protect against this craziness that's coming at us full speed ahead, then we're going to get hurt. So we've got to engage. We've got to be paying attention. We can't get caught with our head in the sands anymore. We don't get another chance. This might be our only chance. Virginia started it. Midterms are right around the corner, and we need to keep this red wave moving. We need to keep pushing hard. We need to take every win we can get. We need to work our asses off for it. We can't be lazy in this. And we've got to take this country back. And after the midterms, then we're going to talk about the presidency. I hope and I pray that Donald Trump wants to do it again. He's not officially said. He's kind of teased around a little bit, but there's a lot of time between now and then. There's a lot that can happen. He looks great. He sounds great. I think he's kind of setting the stage. I'm excited. Him and Bill O'Reilly are getting ready to go out on a tour. And, you know, it's going to be kind of a tour, from what I understand, that recaps the highlights of President Trump's presidency and the policies that he was able to push through and showcases what he was able to do for this country. It's going to showcase his record, which his record, my friends, is brilliant. It's magnificent, which is amazing because all the crap that he dealt with, everything that they threw at him, everything they tried to do to block him, to stop him, to hurt him, and he still persevered. He still pushed through. He still accomplished good things for you and I. He still made America great again. And so this tour that him and Bill O'Reilly are going on, I'm excited because Bill, you know him. He's not going to pull any punches. He'll ask some tough questions, but they're working together, and it's to highlight, to showcase Trump's accomplishments. And so people are worried still about the mean tweets. Oh, I don't know. I actually heard this the other day. All the crap we're dealing with right now, everything that Biden has done to this country, and I still see and hear conservatives saying, yeah, but Trump wasn't the nicest guy, and his tweets were hurtful sometimes, not necessary. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I will take a mean tweet any day of the week over what we got now. But there's still people that think that way. The beauty of Trump running for president again, my friends, is he doesn't have to tweet because he's got a record now. He's got a four-year record of success that made this country great again. His policies worked. And after what we're getting this 4 years, after what's happening to us right now, trust me, my friends, Trump's going to be a breath of fresh air. God bless you guys. Stay safe out there. Enjoy God's country. We'll catch you next week right here on Patriot Uprising Radio.
You've been listening to Patriot Uprising Radio right here on KSLM and KSLM.news.